Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Life is what you make of it, and being in prison is something you accept on a day-to-day basis. Fortunately, thus far, my government stay at St. Joe's hadn't been too difficult. Following the prison code has kept me safe. Don't get into each other's business, don't steal, keep your damn word, don't sell yourself, keep your mouth shut, and don't snitch. Don't embrace substances, don't owe anyone money, or they'll own you. Again, be careful accepting gifts, because you'll have to pay for it with your cheeks or some other way. Don't screw up the cell, stick with your own. It worked for me since I began my stay here 5 years ago. Now, my imprisonment was unbearable. Being in close quarters with other human beings was a difficult thing to experience. The close quarters with strangers is exhausting. Most people shut down after a period of time. You see, hear, and smell everything. Not a single moment of privacy. Nearly every bodily function you did had an audience. My cellmate on the bunk below scared me the moment he walked in. Being inside the St. Joseph Penitentiary exposed me to a variety of characters. Bold posers who were swiftly humbled. Innocent people in difficult situations. Those who were attempting to make the best of a bad situation. And finally, the cold-blooded killers who belonged in a place like this. I had only met two, and luckily wasn't forced to spend too much time in their company. Thus far, my experience had been mostly pleasant. When Stephen Smith walked in, I knew this would now be his cell I was living inside of.
The name's Smith. Stephen.
He greeted me, shaking my hand, and the gesture should have put me at ease. Standing at 5'8", with an unimpressive, average physique, yet it wasn't the muscular meathead you had to be concerned about. His posture was always casual, relaxed, and it was difficult to read his expressions. I wondered if he was a cop or some agent. He nodded, a casual hello, helped himself to the bottom bunk, and said nothing. Come nighttime, I felt uneasy. Resting my prison shiv made out of an old toothbrush from commissary in my right hand, closest to the wall. It shook. When he stood up to use the toilet, once he was finished, he washed his hands and stopped by the bedside. I could sense him staring at my face, a shadow looming over me. I wasn't sure if he was going to threaten me. Looking at him through mostly closed eyes, I never let the weapon out of my hand. I was ready to kill. Stephen patted my arm, nodded in the direction of the shiv, and let out a chuckle.
Don't worry, I ain't gonna hurt you.
A slow, raspy drawl came out. Even without a weapon in his hand, he was assured of his survival. The springs creaked when he reclined on the bed. I stiffened and breathed a long sigh of relief, but I couldn't sleep afterward, tossing and turning all night. I kept imagining him standing over me, waiting. Come morning, without getting out of bed, I watched him walk down the catwalk and occasionally nod to the heavy hitters, who each greeted him in turn. No fuss. Groaning, sitting up, feeling an exhaustion I hadn't felt before, rubbing my elbows to bring feeling back to them. An ache gripped my joints I hadn't felt. Standing up and walking to the mirror, broken in one corner and with a murky appearance, staring in my reflection while I freshened up. His name, I later found out, was an alias, made me curious about why he was inside. I wondered if he was a member of an organization, an agent. We went to get chow, picking up my tray with my plate of slop and went to take our seat on the bench. I noticed Stephen was not there. It was getting close to lockup for the night and I didn't want to go back to my cell. Even throughout the day, I stayed outside, trying to keep busy with menial tasks from my prison job, mopping the floors and carrying items in exchange for money. Once I got back, I went straight to the card tables and sat down with three men. One of the old-timers, old Joe, who had been imprisoned since he was 18 due to a robbery at a gas station gone wrong. His gray stubble covered his chin, muscles wasted away with age, and his once upright shoulders now slumped. Cataracts coated his eyes. He stared into space, yet it didn't impact his ability to get around. Age spots covered his face and matched the ones on his tattooed hands. After a sideward glance, holding the cards upright and placing a three of clubs on the table.
"Issues with your cellmate?"
he asked, his voice gentle. I remembered how Joe had been kind to me when I first came, teaching me the ropes of what to do and what not to do. How to stay safe inside a nest of vipers.
"He is, interesting."
I kept my voice low, not to disturb others and to prevent other people knowing my business. Without looking, I knew there were eyes on us, always. Keeping track of everyone meant life and death. The COs generally didn't bother Joe or the few older inmates who still resided in this block. They left them to their card games and their television time, uninterrupted by the younger and rowdier ones. I heard shouting while they were herding the other inmates back to their cells, but gave the oldies some time to finish in peace.
"Well, do as I taught you, son. And you should be all right."
His steady drawl usually comforted me, but this time it didn't work. His faded white eyes rested on the cards, reorganizing them in a straight line in his hand, careful not to show any distinguishing features of them.
"Fox, it's time for you to head back to your cell."
Stern, one of the COs, commanded with little room to argue with him. Standing up, sliding the chair back out behind me, and giving a nod of goodbye to Joe before walking back for count time. I saw Steven standing in front, with his arms behind his back, casually observing the prison around him, and we stood to be accounted for, being locked in our cells for the night. The CO passed me, and the doors opened loudly. Sliding with a thud, the pair of us entered and stood quietly while the door made a crushing sound, leaving me stuck inside with him. My hands rested on the bars, staring out, and silently knew no one would save me. Even within his presence alone, I could feel my energy draining.
"You all right?
You've been avoiding me."
His voice was curious, almost gentle. I heard the bed creaking beneath his weight while he sat up, the shadow of his leg hanging off the edge on the floor. I could feel his gaze piercing the back of my skull. Weakness was easily exploited, but a threat would be eliminated. "Just readjusting to the change is all." His silence showed his doubt. "I won't give you any trouble." I couldn't bring myself to turn to look at him. The light shut off with the emergency lights down the hallway. Too dark to be comfortable, and too light to truly sleep. A CO, Richardson, walked past, shining light into each cell and tapped the bar with his heavy flashlight. A loud bang on the bar, he pointed.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Pointed to bed, and still Steven's shadow loomed. Nodding, blinking with the intense light, and covered my eyes with my forearm.
"Get your ass to bed."
I'm going.
Smith sat idle, staring at me while I climbed up onto the top bunk and my skin crawled, twisting. Sure, his gaze was piercing into my back and a twisting feeling moving up my spine. I felt my back pulled through the paper-thin mattress, rolling onto my right side to face the wall, feeling my body instinctively curl into the fetal position and forced myself to lie flat. A hot sweat coated my body. Feeling my limbs tremble and my teeth chatter with no discernible reason. Weakness was death here. If they, the inmates and COs, saw me like this, it would make me a target. I could have sworn I heard Smith chuckle beneath me, I don't know how, but I woke up the next morning. My head was heavy. I could barely move when I slumped down off the top bunk with a loud grunt and walked over to the toilet and peed, staring in my reflection. What the fuck? There were bags under my eyes, hollow cheeks, and my hair had gone from a dark brown to a patchy gray. I looked like an old man, wasted away. And worst of all, it all happened in a matter of days. I would die if I stayed in this cell. I knew what I had to do. When we were let out for chow, I walked down the pathway, my shank concealed up my shirt sleeve, and seeing one of the chomos, one of the people universally despised by inmates and COs alike, I grabbed him by the shirt, holding him in place, stabbing him viciously in the neck. I doubted he'd live. Each time I stabbed, I heard a faint echo. Instantly, the alarm bells went off, and I was tackled by COs, forcing me to drop the weapon and holding my hands up while I was secured. The other inmates were screaming and jumping with excitement, shouting my name and loving the entertainment in front of them, and they were barely back under control when I was led to the hole. I couldn't tell, but I could have sworn I heard Smith's laughter. With only the clothes on my back, I was pushed inside. Left in the small room with no window, a bed, a toilet, and a sink. I paced around like a caged animal. The chomo's blood still on my shirt and my pants, and I wasn't above killing one of these creeps. But in public, my sentence would be extended, and I'd be stuck in here forever. Exhaling deeply, my back on the wall and trying to think of the next best course of action, tapping my fingers on the surface while I waited, I'd be in here for a while longer. Every time I closed my eyes, I could see him staring back at me, all with a knowing smile on his face. Each blink became torturous. It showed him reaching under my mattress. No searching around, he knew the correct location. He tapped it with his forefinger, then parted the slit. Inside, a small pocket where I pulled out the foam. It was barely noticeable. A space I reserved to hide a picture of my wife and child. I never showed anyone where it was, and I never took it out to keep it safe. He knew. How did he know? Smith held it in his hands, tapping his forefinger three times over each of their faces, and I screamed, telling him to put it down. Then, nothing. I blinked rapidly, aching to see what he was doing to my photo of them, the only one I brought with me. I remembered telling my wife to forget me, to raise our daughter in peace without dealing with the prison system. I figured it was best to keep them away from this environment, and it made it easier, compartmenting this part of my old life. I did it to protect them. And now, that monster knew about them. I was still covered in sweat, pacing around the cramped space with barely enough room to take four steps in either direction. I barely had to reach out to touch either of the scratched, written-over walls. He knows about them. He knows about them. I struck the cell door several times with my fist.
They're in danger. He's gonna kill them.
Shut the fuck up. Settle down.
Stepping close to the door, attempting to open the small door used to deliver meals, only to find it locked shut. I struck it loudly several times in protest, but to no avail. Wincing and growling, clutching my fist with my head down, my knuckles were bruised and broken. Several open sores coupled with bleeding. The exposed bone was the last thing I wanted to see. Sitting on the bed, it was even thinner than the one in my cell was. The fact Smith was now in there alone, free to do whatever he wished. Closing my eyes and hoping for another glimpse, a clue I could use, and instead received a blank emptiness. I'd never been inside the hole before, and closed in, I lay on my bed while the light shone down at me, staring up, and only when I received my meals did I see a resemblance of a person. Three times a day, breakfast, lunch, dinner, on repeat. I lost count of the times I saw that hand, took the tray, ate the food, and placed the empty tray by the door. No human interaction. Putting my arm up over my head to protect my eyes from the fluorescent light, my hands didn't receive medical care. Despite only a metal slab beneath me, I had a feeling he was there. Below me, staring up at me, studying my reactions like a lab rat bred for experimentation. It was impossible. His tendrils twisting through hard iron, piercing and gripping my flesh. With a grunt, I shot up and stood with my back on the wall, staring down, running my hand over the cool surface to confirm my thoughts. And it was as it should be. The hole often left people changed, different. I had to get out of here.
Remember, take it one day at a time. It'll go faster.
I remembered old Joe's wise words from when I first entered prison. If I acted like a bitch, I'd be treated like one. Doing push-ups on the walls, ignoring the occasional pop of my knuckles, and exhaling when I did so. I needed to get out.
Fox, turn around and face the wall.
Blinking in confusion, the command was strange.
Fox, I said turn around and face the wall.
Standing with the tip of my nose on the surface of the wall, putting my hands there too, and waited while the cold handcuffs were secured around my wrists and ankles. There wasn't a comment about my injured hand. A chain put through my limbs, I walked out with a stunned pace with Officer Stern on one side and a CO I didn't recognize on the other. Once outside my cell, my stomach sank and my teeth chattered. I couldn't understand why such a restrictive place was one I longed for. I was led down the strangely quiet hallway, and given how noisy prison usually is, it was striking. Inmates existing with coughing and moving around their cells, and COs doing their rounds or hardly working. The faint, constant noise always lingered.
Where are you taking me?
Stern and the other CO didn't answer.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
When am I seeing my lawyer?
I didn't know if I killed the Chomo or if he was wounded. I stabbed him repeatedly in the neck. There was a good chance I'd cop another murder charge, and my reputation inside would have improved. Still, I did it to escape.
Quiet. We'll let you know when you can see your lawyer.
A chain-link fence gate was open, and I was pushed inside the large cage. Stopping, I stared back at him, imagining Smith entering from the other side for a prisoner boxing match. Stern smacked the gate with his baton, and I took the hint. The midday sun shone down, and walking through it, pacing around in a circle to make the most of the time. It was nice being able to stretch and move around with relative freedom, staring up at the sun, feeling it burning, and wondering whether I'd see the sun again. I had this small yard to myself. I could have sworn there were others in the shoe when I made my walkthrough. Stern and the other CO didn't hurry me, each taking out a cigarette to smoke and leaned on the fence. After 20 minutes, I was led back to the hole, subconsciously dragging my feet, not wishing to return to the cramped space. Normally, when you walk past other cells, there would be catcalling and shit-talking, but there was nothing. Looking to the side, only to get shoved back.
Where is everyone?
My demand fell on deaf ears. Once we reached my cell, I entered, put my hands on the furthest wall, and waited while the cuffs were removed. Remaining close to the far wall until the door closed loudly, the lock echoed in the empty space, and I was left alone.
Hey, what's happening with my case? After the accident with the Chomo?
Stern didn't answer me. I heard his footsteps walking away from my cell. You could never trust a CO, but Stern had previously been all right. Not messing with us or our property during shakedowns, and you couldn't bribe him either. He didn't keep our news from us. Mind you, I'd never been in the hole before.
Shit.
I flopped back on my bed. It didn't last long. Standing up once more, I paced back and forth, still not wanting to rest. I lay down to rest on the bed, exhaling slowly and gazing up at the blank ceiling. A sinking realization remained. Instinctively, my hand gripped the bedside in case I'd be pulled down.
Fuck. I think I'm losing it. I muttered under my breath.
My breathing and heartbeat seemed to echo inside the room, bearing down at me. Glancing from one corner to the next in a swift motion, covering my mouth with a wry laughter, and shook my head, right when my heart was starting to settle down.
Do you think a little bit of metal and concrete can keep you from me?
I shot up from the bed, hands gripping the rubber mattress. I'm sure I heard him that time.
Where the hell are you?
I expected laughter or another response. Instead, there was silence. The door opened and a tray of food, water, and a sad white bread and bologna sandwich on top slid in.
Please, I need to go to the doctor.
Shut up, man. Just do your time.
The tray door closed. It was so humid inside the cell, sweat coated my body, and I picked up the water, taking a mouthful before swallowing the rest down. It had to be dehydration. I wasn't going crazy. Sitting on the floor, I ate my sandwich and slid my tray under the door. All I had to do was hydrate, wait my time, and get back out into Gen Pop. I kept feeling Smith's attention on me from the corners of the room, purposefully deciding to ignore it. I knew there was nothing there. No faces or shadows. I wasn't fucking crazy. That, where he was waiting on the other side of the door, ready to open it at a moment's notice, or under the bed, fussed with it, waiting for me. The isolation was difficult. I felt my chin. The hair had grown long and shaggy. At least a week must have passed, given how long it was. Clenching my fists, it was tempting to scream out again and attempt to get them to come to my cell. I heard one of the COs making his rounds, the rattling sound of the tray behind him. He'd stop outside each door ahead, but there was no sound of a door opening or a tray being slid underneath. Not seeing other human beings for weeks was a strange sensation, especially after the close, invasive proximity. I received barely a grunt in response. Desperate for a single look, I lay limp on the floor with my hands visible and empty. Playing dead may not have been wise. The tray door opened, the chow tray slid in, and I didn't reach for it.
There were two taps on the door to alert me, then a pause. I think they must have looked underneath to ensure I wasn't hiding to hurt them. It was followed by the coarse jingle of keys, and the door creaked open.
Man down in the hole.
The voice was familiar, a shadow over me. My eyes slowly opened, staring up at the blurry face with a hand on my shoulder.
Hey, Fox, you all right?
It was Stern's concerned tone. I couldn't speak. My lips parted, and no sound came out. In the haze, I heard him talk. Stern leaned close, with his bald head, with graying sides close to my face. The navy-colored uniform was ready and waiting.
You'll be all right. Don't worry.
It won't be long until you're back in Gen Pop.
You?
Breathing heavily.
You? How did you get in here?
Fox, it's Stern.
Huh? You know me.
He reassured me. In the blur, I couldn't quite make out his feature. The outline drifted between Fox and Stern, over and over.
Just keep away from me. Who? Is someone hassling you?
I nearly said his name and immediately shut my mouth when I remembered where I was, hanging my head in defeat and refusing to look at him. The reputation of a snitch was the last thing I needed.
There. That's better. That damned fucking voice.
With a roar, I lunged at him and knocked him on his back, wrapping my hands around his throat and squeezed tightly. My teeth grit together in animalistic rage, and I knew I had to crush him. I was struck in the back first by one baton and then another. Finally, one struck me on the head. I was on the cold, hard floor.
There were inmates verbally fighting with staff and the strong smell of disinfectant. It meant I could only be in one of two places, medical or psych. If it was the latter, my reputation would now be damaged. If I was crazy, I'd be an easy mark for whatever idiot who needed a kill. Opening my eyes, seeing the holding cells with straight jackets, and lean my head back on the slither of a pillow. With a sinking feeling in my stomach, I realized I was inside the psych ward. The sounds tore into my skull. Voices of many people. The shouting, the rich aroma of disinfectant coupled with the stale scent of urine and other bodily waste. A bored nurse walked past loudly, chewing gum, doing the rounds. She stood at the foot of my bed and lifted up my patient file, scribbling on it and allowing it to drop down. Each sound was torture. It echoed inside my mind, and if I was going crazy, maybe this was the best place for me. I attempted to move my hands, only to find them strapped down. Lashing out at a CO would do that. The nurse gave me a grunt in greeting, her mousy-colored bob pinned back, and I had no doubt she had punched a patient who got too grabby. Stood by my bedside, turned my chin to face her, and opened my eyelids to stare at my pupils, and left.
How could one person do this? I whispered to myself. The warden, Mr. Sear, came and pulled up a chair to sit with me. Sat in a blue suit and shined shoes, all in perfect order. His eyes had seen it all, yet he surprisingly didn't succumb to bribery or threats. An old-school disciplinarian, firm, but fair. His mustache wrinkled, his arms rested on the back of his chair. Fox, I'm letting you know that Stern has decided not to press charges for assault.
What? Stern?
Yes. You attacked him, remember? I didn't know what else to say, staring up at the ceiling in defeat. I've read your file. In 5 years, you were up for parole, and you showed no signs of aggression. So, why start now? I couldn't answer.
I guess, my voice raspy. You can thank Stern for not pressing charges.
The warden's jaw tightened, clearly irritated.
If you pass your psych evaluation tomorrow, you get to go back to Gen Pop. I knew it would happen someday. If you happen to change your mind,
he sighed, never one to beg while standing,
speak to a CO.
I watched while he left, wondering if this was my last chance to survive. A couple of beds down, one of the other inmates vomited loudly on the floor, the contents filling the room with a rancid odor. Closing my eyes, I fell back on the bed. The constant drawl of consistent noise eventually faded, staring up at the ceiling tiles. One had been pulled up and sloppily resealed, some dark black mold clinging in one corner that hadn't been cleaned since the building was first made. I wondered how many inmates tried to conceal a weapon under the plate, how many drugs they were on, or whether they too stared up at the same space. There they saw reality. Or not. Muffled movement and a low scratching beneath me. Slow, lingering. No need to look.
You knew this day would come. The world around me fell away, with all sound forever falling silent.
The nurses no longer roamed the halls, and the inmates were no more. All that remained was the ceiling, the hospital bed, and Fox underneath.
Who are you? Are you insane? The ultimate result of mistakes, selfishness under the guise of being a good man and being kept inside a cage like a good little pet. Who are you?
I felt my body sink below, no longer challenging my fate. The floor now beneath me and the thick metal bars above me. Even in limbo, I could never escape the prison. Above me, the bed creaked. The slow decline and a lingering question raised. Was I a shadow? Immobile, all I could do was stare. Light raised around me while I choked to speak, only with no words. I recognized the sounds of inmates waking up, along with those who worked, and nurses' shoes standing by the bed, checking my remains. I figured they'd say I was dead. Another casualty during the night. I saw my legs swing over the edge, resting on the floor, when I heard my voice.
Nurse, I'm feeling much better. Could I speak to the doctor?
I saw her take a step back, a sharp inward breath, an instinctual fear to escape the unknown threat, and soon she retreated out to fetch him. I waited for the feet below to move or lean down to acknowledge me. It never did.
I'm feeling like myself again. I'd like to apologize personally to Stern.
My voice, but not my words.
No.
Me. Leave. And never return.
Laying while hearing and seeing glimpses of lives beneath me. A blur with some familiar and others new.
A limbo that couldn't be contained. I saw blood spilled on the ground one time. Human waste dribbling or streaming down onto the floor another, only to be lazily mopped up. An endless cycle of days.
Someone should help me. I don't want to be here.
Countless inmates would rest above me before vacating, and over time, I'd reach through the mattress and lure them down, whispering to them in the dark of night. They'd scream, the counter reset each morning, and I'd feel the cool tiles on my back. The more frightened they were, I'd feel a renewed sense of vigor, a hunger. I'd whisper to them in the dark, haunt their dreams and attempt to drag them down. The nurses would tell them they're sick, they're crazy. I need someone to take my place.